You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
And the Lord would say, these times that we are in, the thundering, the lightning, the storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, rough weather. But then the sunshine shall burst through, because I am the light of the world, says the Lord. And I will come and clear and station any rumble of the times. The times changes, and the time is not understood at times. But I, the Lord, would say, I am the time. I place it into position, and I control it. So it may thunder and it may rain. And it may even level some things in your life. It may even disrupt and uproot things globally, not just nationally, not just local. But global, I am moving throughout the earth. And as I move, I recreate, I dig up and I plant, and I pave the way. Sometimes with stones of pearls, and sometimes with rigid rocks and sand. But I, the Lord, would say, I am in it all, because I created the earth. So don't you ever say you don't know what's going to happen. Things are so bleak. Things are so dark. No, God still is the light. And light dispels darkness. Light creates a way. And light creates directions. So you will never be without my leading, says the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. And I hold it all. I'm above it all. And I control the universe. So you are and will be in a peaceful situation, because I and my word will stand and stand when all will be shaken. I will steady the rumble. I will smooth out the rough places. And I shall bring peace on earth. I am the Lord, thy God. Amen. This year, a year and a half, has been travel, a road that I have never experienced before. And this message was born out of my travel and how I met God in a different way. I thought I knew God. But do you know there's more that you don't know of God than you do know? As you weather the storms of life, you find him more and more and deeper and deeper. He is the light of the world. There is no light without him. And my thought I want to leave with you today: victory in the storms of life. Victories. We're going to zero in on victories. We will be aware of storms, but our focus is victory, because in Christ Jesus we have the victory. And I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are storms. Storms are intense, and they are disruptive. I was 7 years old when I encountered on the farm my first storm. It really was a hurricane. And we had a place on the farm that we would go to. And you could tell as a child the calmness and the serenity and the darkness of the clouds that you were supposed to move toward this location that would keep you safe. So when you enter in a storm and see it coming, because you can feel a storm, you can sense it. We, by our spirit, know that there is a rumbling. There is a dis-ease. And it's almost like a instruction, a direction. Like we would rush to this shelter and go underground, and we had things down there because we never knew how long a hurricane, tornado, how long it would last, whether you were going to be there for minutes or hours. But we knew, and our parents knew what to have there, not knowing the exact time. So when you enter a storm, like I did when my husband was announced onset dementia, I could see signs before then that there's something happening in the atmosphere that is creating a change. Whether you go on your job and the atmosphere is that there's going to be a layoff, there's going to be a downsizing, we're going to eliminate this department, we are going to cut back over here and eliminate it. There's a feeling in the air, in the offices, in the conference rooms, that there are changes. So you're already looking at that dark cloud that's forming over there, and it's beginning to whirl like a tornado. You know what to do. You know what to do when you know there's going to be a layoff. When you're sitting in a doctor's office, like my daughter and myself was sitting there with my husband, and she said, yes, it's onset dementia. It was like, okay, the clouds are here. There's even some wind that is picking up. And there was a prescription, so there was some planning. And so, in a spiritual storm that will be intense and will leave us wanting to avoid what this could bring on, wanting us to wake up and said, that was just a dream. So whatever you are facing today, like someone told me, asked me to pray for their child that was entering into a storm of a health challenge and to pray. So that was like preparation to go to the underground shelter that my father had fixed, knowing that we had to be safe in that area. You couldn't stay above, sitting in the house looking out the windows. And so my prayer was target praying, targeting right at that sickness, at that challenge. And that's what I did when my daughter was getting on a plane and she called and she said, Mommy, it's going to be a rough flight. Pray, pray. And I just shut down everything because there was indication of this could be serious. So shut down everything, go in prayer. The plane is going up in the air and God is in control. And after I got through praying, I just had a sense of peace. I said, oh, she's going to make it. And I put on some praise songs and just started dancing before the Lord. I had an assurance that even if the plane went down, she was going to be okay. Like I had an assurance when the doctor said onset dementia. My husband walked out of that office. He said, I don't want to be here one day without knowing my family. I want to know you, Verna, my two daughters, and my five grandkids. When I leave here, I want to know all of them. Will you pray with me now, touch and agree that God will grant that? And do you know he did that day that he left here? He spent all day with my daughter the day before one, and then my other daughter was coming in from Baltimore, and she got there 5 hours before he passed. She talked with him. My grandson called from school. He got a chance to talk with all of his grandchildren. And he and I had a long, good talk. He said, Vern, I would do it all over again. He said, I know this is the day. You know, hospice now can tell you almost to the hour unless God intervened. They told me that he's in his last hours, a couple of hours. Sure enough, he left here 2 minutes after those 2 hours. That was a storm. And I'm going to come back to that because that's going to be under the last category that we'll talk about. But in the storm, we need God's presence. We need God's peace. And we need his promises. So the key verses I want you to think about this morning is John 16:33. I have overcome the world. God's presence. He's letting you know right now, I have overcome the world. I did it, and you're going to overcome this. Whatever this challenge, whatever this crisis, whatever the storm is, whatever you've been given notice about, just look at God's word and say, he has already overcome this. And so I am going to overcome this. I don't know what's all involved, but I can be assured that I'm going to get through this. And I walked into my husband's challenge of dementia and then Alzheimer's, knowing we were going to get through it as a family. He was not going to leave here and not know his family. We accepted that, and we stood on it, and it happened. And then we're going to need God's peace. We're going to go into each one of these individuals. If you can't have peace in the middle of a storm when God said, be still, storm was all around you. You've heard about this challenge of sickness. You heard about this challenge that you're going to lose your home because you've been out of work. You're going to hear about your children, someone in the family. All of it just roaring like a storm. Lightning, thundering, rain falling. And in the ship, Jesus had gone down on the Sea of Galilee and laid down and went to sleep. Can you go to sleep when you have just gotten some bad news? He did it. And all the disciples was up on top saying, go down and wake him up. Tell him what's going on. Let him know we're going to perish. And so every time I thought about, boy, this is going to be tough. I'm going to see him leave me daily. But I could hear God saying in his word, standing like a soldier, peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. What assurance. What a direction. What a peace-giving statement. Peace, be still. My husband had an appetite right up till the end. Eating everything he asked for. Laying there knowing every day was closer to death. And yet we could ask God because in his word, he promised us he'll never leave you, nor forsake you. So why are you going to act like he has forgotten you? So what, you get bad news about your husband? You get bad news about your children? You get bad news about your job? You get bad news because you don't want to leave here. My sister was saying, I don't want to leave Michigan. I love it. But I think we need to go. I said, have you consulted God? She said, that's what we're doing. I said, I don't care what it looks like and what people are saying to you. You should go. You shouldn't go. Oh, no, if I was you, I wouldn't go. And I love my pastor, Troy, that I was working with before I came to the bridge. It was 12 pastors on staff. And he would ask for our input. So when he announced in the meeting what his conclusion and what he was going to do, and some pastors would say, but I told you this, I shared this. He said, oh, I asked for your input. But after I get all of that, I go to God. So now, God, with all of that input, all of that prayers, you put me over this ministry. Lord, you direct me what to do. He didn't say, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge me. He said, ask me, not Natalie, not Nancy. You want their input. You want their prayers. Natalie prayed me through one of the worst periods of my life several years ago. Took off work and hit the floor and prayed for me a week, and I was delivered. But God, after you get all that input, you better go to God and say, now I got all of this. I thank you for putting those people around me praying. But God, what do I do? So when people say, oh, I'm leaving here, I'm going somewhere else, I'm going to another job, my first question is, what did God say? I don't care how good it looked, how all the answers seem to be checked off. Did you check off with God? Did God say, go? Did God say, stay?
And so in a storm, if you don't prepare, you can prepare, but not follow directions, and you'll still be messed up. God can tell you what to do, but if you don't do it, you're still messed up. That's why he said obedience is better than sacrifice. I used to tell my kids, you don't wash those dishes, you're going to give up something. If you're not obedient to God's word, you're going to give up something. My kids would say, oh, I wonder what mama would do. They knew they were going to have to give up something. That's just the way it is. You didn't obey, you are going to give it up. And I really believe God is like that. It's like, this is my word. You don't follow it and you go your own way. I tell you in my word, acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. But you let somebody else direct your path and then wonder why you messed up. It's clear you messed up because you didn't let God direct you. And so in a storm, if somebody else, like my sister, would say, oh, I got to go get my doll. I said, girl, you better get in here. She said, no, but I said, Daddy said, get in the shelter now. He knows how quick that storm is coming, that hurricane. And you're talking about going back getting a doll, you and the doll both will be lost. And so following instructions, don't go back and say it looks good because this checks off, this check off. Five things can check off. But if God didn't say do it, you better stay still and know that God is God. And when you think you haven't heard, that's when you've heard. Because if he haven't said anything, that means stay where you are, be still, know that I'm God. Wait, let me direct you. You're going to create and act like you heard something because it's in you anyway what you want to do. So you make it God. Yeah, I heard from God. And I just said to myself, they haven't heard from God. But as my mother would say, when you bump your head against a stone wall, you'll know it's a stone wall. Won't nobody have to tell you. You'll say, boy, that was hard. That was brick or stone or something. And so, it's peace, it's present, being in God's presence, and his promises. So I want you to think of those things throughout facing a storm. You want God's presence, you want his peace, and you want to remember his promises. So God's presence. I had to stay in God's presence. I had to acknowledge him everything. There were medication that I didn't want my husband to take. I said, Lord, I said, you know what he should take, what he shouldn't. And when I had that thing in my spirit, then the doctor would call and say, you know what, they got this out. Why'd you hold on that? Don't get that prescription for you. I said, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because I had acknowledged God. And what God said, you don't just say, oh, I'm not going to feel it. I'm not going to. You talk to God and let the doctor, God tell the doctor and the doctor call you. See, we think we have to do everything. And so you want to be in his presence when you're in a storm. If I hadn't stayed before God, I hate to think where I would be right now. I'd be pulling my hair out. We were married 62 years. 62 years. And it was like, boy, he's really going. He's going to leave me unless God perform a miracle. He is going to leave me. And I was in God's presence with the word. People would call me. Nancy was a good one. But if I wanted to hear from God, hear his word, I'll call Nancy. And when she starts talking about God's word, well, he said this, he said that. And it would be just like salve was added to my wound, God's word. But being in his presence, you're going to encounter his word. You're going to depend on his word. You're going to go. But just jumping on the phone sometime, I wanted to call people. God said, why don't you just stay in my presence, Verna, right now? Why don't you just kind of visit with me? Why don't you want to cry? Cry with me. It's okay to cry. I was so glad I was by myself. People were saying, oh, no, you need to go move with one of your children. I said, oh, I walked through the house. Hallelujah. Brookings, where are you? Brookings, I miss you. And I didn't have anyone saying, she must be going crazy calling her husband. I could call him loud as I wanted to. I could cry loud as I wanted to. Do you know it's okay to cry? I felt good when I had a good cry. As Joyce Meyer would say, I had a good pity party. She said it was like she had gone to a birthday party, just a good old downright old-fashioned pity party. And she got up from there after that pity party, dusted herself off, and went dancing and singing and just rejoicing. So people, don't cry, don't cry. I said, cry. Cry. I felt good crying. Well, don't talk about him too much. I talked about Brookings every time I opened my mouth. It healed me. It soothed me. It brought back memories. And one person I could talk about him to was his sister. She and him was 2 years apart, and they were really close. And she wanted to talk. She didn't get tired of me talking, and I didn't get tired of her talking. So find somebody, not my daughter, because my daughter would say, okay, Mom. She was going through, and she didn't want to talk about it too much. So I found that out. I didn't talk with her. I would call Mary, and we would talk 3 hours about her brother and my husband. But I'm not going to call somebody who said, Vernon, you're getting a little too worked up. I think you should just, you know, we get off the phone and you take it easy. I want to talk about Brookings. And I talked about him. And so God's present, that's the best thing you could do to be in his presence, to stay in his presence. Remind yourself of his word. And let that word walk you through the storm. Let the prayer with the word bring you through the storm. I mean, Nancy was just one scripture out of another one. And it was like somebody was just giving me spoons of medicine. So I knew when I wanted to hear God's word over and over, I'd call Nancy. And boy, she just have it, just fed you with it. And it just soothed me. So you have to know where to go to get what you need. That will help you in the storm. Where to go. But accept that there is a storm, number one. It's a storm. Don't try to say, oh no, I'll be okay. No, this is a storm. My daughter is ill. She's having these tests now. Oh, no, 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 no. She's okay. I said, Lord, you know what the results of those tests. And I am talking to you now about my daughter. I'm not going to say that. Oh, no, Sonia's okay. She's okay. She's okay. I talk to God. So I talk to God in my storm. He knew how I was feeling, but I had to hear myself telling him, you know, I really miss my husband right now, God. Ooh, I had a big picture of him in the family room, a picture in the bedroom on the nightstand. I had a picture in the bathroom, and you may say, oh, that's too much. Probably for you it was too much. It wasn't too much for me. And guess what? When you're in a storm, you find out what you need. Don't try to go by what somebody else needed. Yours is not wrong. Theirs is not wrong. It's right for you. You find out and you do it. And don't share it with someone that will say, oh, you know, I think Pastor Vernon is kind of cuckoo now. She's going off the wagon. No, you know who to share with and who not to share with, but God's presence. So God, peace. The next one, God's peace. When he said, be still, that's kind of an example for all of us. Be still and know that he is God. If you can digest that and relax with it and embrace it, you get strength from knowing that God is in charge. Whatever it is, whatever the storm, whether it's hurricane, tornado, thunderstorm, windstorm, whatever it is, God knows about it. God knew when those disciples went in the bottom, was up on the deck, and he went in the bottom to sleep. You think God said, when they told him, wake up. You think God woke up and said, oh, it's a storm? I didn't know a storm was coming. Oh, my goodness, caught me off balance here. I didn't know about the storm. They just may perish because I didn't know I was asleep. He knows whatever it is you are going through. He knows. So for him to know, that's good enough for me. He knew when he was sleeping. He knew that storm was coming. And he knew that they were going to wake him up. And then he could remind them how you handle a storm. And how. And he went and he said, peace be still. And I would say to myself doing a challenge, I would say like Smith Wigglesworth said, how many people know Smith Wigglesworth? Ooh, I've read all his books. I love that man. He said he could feel that night, him and his wife in the bed, ready to go to sleep. And he said, something is wrong in here. Somebody's in here. It doesn't feel peaceful. It doesn't feel good. So he turned over and he looked and he saw the devil was sitting over there in the corner. He said, oh, it's just you. Go on. He turned over and went back to sleep. You know why he said that? Because he knew what to do. And he didn't, oh, please get out. Please don't bother me tonight. Oh, you shouldn't have come. I wanted a good night's sleep. He just said, oh, it's you. God, went back to sleep. How many can do that when you are faced with something? And so the peace of God in Matthew's, Matthew 8:26 said, he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Will you allow God to calm your situation? Will you believe that God can bring a calmness into whatever your storm is? Can you know the faithfulness of God that this seems overbearing, stressful, don't know whether I'm going to come out of it? Said, but God already knows about it. And I am going to rest in him. And so he had given all, we were going to the other side. So if God has told you, I was sitting by a guy on the plane one time, and the plane was just, we were coming from California to Boston. And I had left a conference, and I was sleeping, wanted to just sleep coming back. And they said, we're going to have a lot of turbulence going back. And it was just boom, boom, up and down. And so I said, oh, my goodness, saying to myself, boy, this is getting serious. And then I said, wait a minute, I'm a believer. I don't know how many people on here are believers. But I know, because you know what? I had gotten a word that I was going to live a long life because God, what God had for me to do. I said, wait a minute, God gave me a word years ago. Continue to give me words what he want me to do. So this plane can't go down. And if it goes down, I'm going to be the one person that survives it. because I already got, and I'm going to be standing up there saying, hey, I didn't die. I'm alive. And so the lady, she was just, oh my goodness, oh, I got two kids at home. Oh, my baby sister. She was just, I said, it can't go down. She said, why? Is your husband the pilot? I said, no, I don't even know him. I said, but God has given me too many words of what I have to do. And so I haven't done that. So that means you want to join in with me if it goes down that you'll live? I said, because I'm going to live. I've already gotten the word what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not going to, I may be the only one, but we can join together and pray, and maybe you can come over with me. But I'm not going anywhere. And that's what God was saying to the disciples. He said, you're going over to the other side. He had already told them what they were going to do. And then you're going to stand up there. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know what you're going to do? He said, you're going to the other side. And you're going to let some plane up and down, bumping around, throw that out of your spirit and let fear come in and work on you. We got to be so violent against fear. Fear will rob you of every bit of faith that you could have. And so if you want God's peace, you got to get his word and bring it back to your memory and eat it right there in the air with the plane jumping around.
That's right.
Amen. And now, God's promises. I'm telling you, with his promises, we could just live. His promises, I put it like this. It's the appetizer, it's the main course, and it's the dessert. It's the total meal. So when you read his promises and you enter into an agreement with him of his promises, you can survive that storm. Yeah, it looks like. Oh, like when my cousin, she said, it's going to be a divorce. I can't help it, Vern. I'm just going to get a divorce. I said, well, what did God say about it? Have you prayed? No, I haven't prayed because I'm just tired of it. I said, well, you'll probably get a divorce then. As simple as that. You already said, no, I'm just tired. I said, so if you want God's promises and you've been a Christian all these years, what were you doing, just faking it? I want to ask you today, how many in here faking being a Christian? Do you really believe his word?
Yes.
His promises. What brought me through that year and a half, when I felt lonely, God said, oh, you told me you would never leave me. You're right here now in my crying, in my loneliness, in my missing Brookings, but you are here with me. So by the mere fact you say you're not going to leave me or forsake me, you're right here. And if you are in here with me, I'm not going under. So I had to preach to myself. Like what did David say in the word? I encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes you can't wait on somebody to encourage you. Encourage yourself. You got enough word in you to repeat it, to state it, and wrap your arms around it and say, this is for me. God said, I needed a certain amount of money. I didn't tell anybody, because if I told my daughter, they would have given it to me. But I wanted to really try God. I said, God, I'm just telling you about it. You know about it. I just want to see you act without me telling anybody. Because if I say it to my kids, they're going to give it to me. God, I want to know you heard me and I didn't tell anybody else. I got a check. Somebody handed me a check for $5,000, which is what I asked God for. And I said, God, I didn't tell nobody. And there it was in the check. I took a picture of it. I said, God, you really did show. You know, we really don't. He said, you have not because you ask not. That's his word. How many of you are asking for God to guide you through the storm that you are passing through now, that you are experiencing now, that seems absolutely just no way you're going to come out of it? If you are at that point, say, God, you know what? I'm going to try you. See, I'm one for trying God's word. I said, God, I'm not telling nobody. Because if I told, I could think of 20 people if I had just talked about it, they would have given it to me. I said, God, I don't want to tell nobody but you. And I got it. How many really take his promise and give it back to him? He said, bring me in remembrance of my word. That means he wants you to remind him, I promise you this, Verna, right here in this scripture. That's yours. You're my child. I said this to you. You're going to say, oh, I know he said it, but it's for everybody else but not me. No, it's for me. I'm stepping up to get mine. And so, what I experienced that time with my husband, I know now. There's several things I learned with going through that. And it was my largest storm that I had gone through. I had to maintain my faith and trust in God. I had to keep that so up front. Not just talking about it to others. I asked Natalie to pray. I don't call Natalie every day and say, Natalie, I told you yesterday, but pray, girl, pray. I already told her to pray. I know Natalie pray. See, some people will say, yeah, I pray for you, and they forget it. They don't mean to forget it. They just forget it. But if Natalie says she's going to pray, she's going to pray. And so I don't have to call every day and say, Natalie, you remember my daughter, and I want you to pray for her. Then the next day, Natalie, you remember Sonia? You know Sonia? Are you praying? You have to maintain your faith and your trust in God. That's how I took one step after another one daily, walking through that with brokenness. And pray without ceasing, keeping a prayer in your mouth. I used to say, when I said always praying, I said, well, you know, cause I saw praying, getting down on my knees and praying. But you can be at the sink washing dishes and you got a prayer in your mouth. You can be driving along and you got a prayer in your mouth. And somebody will call you and God will, through them, you all start talking and then both of you be praying for each other. You have to pray without ceasing. That was my lifeline in walking through the worst storm that I have traveled through. And stay, number three, I stayed in the word. I lived in the word. I digest the word. I hung on to it like life. I remember in Sunday school, I was about 8 or 9 years old. Sunday school teacher said, God is like a tree in the middle of the ocean and all this water is around. And that tree is standing and it's firm. She gave the example, if you hold on to that tree, that water will subside. The winds will calm down and the water will drain off and then you can walk away. But you got to hold on to God, what she meant, the word. What is he saying? What was his promises to you? Remind yourself of his promises. I don't care how big the storm is. I prayed, and I know Nellie was praying, and a lot of y'all were praying, for Brooklyn's healing. But he wasn't healed until he saluted. I think I told several of you. About 15 minutes before he last breath left his body, he was propped up in the bed and he did this. And then he, the other hand, he saluted two angels. He said, they came for me. I said, well, thank you for being the husband that you were to me. I would do it all over again. He said, I would too. And in 15 minutes, he was gone. And I looked up and I saw him moving up a path, nothing but flowers on each side. And he turned around and he waved at me. And I start thanking God for the 62 years that I had with him. And the two children I had. And the five grandchildren. And he, his motto was, living a life, not just making a living. And he lived the life with his family, his friends, and his kids. And I thank God every day that I had those 62 years. But it wasn't easy. I'm not suggesting it's easy. When a doctor tell you the sickness I have now, and Nancy said to me, why don't you believe God for that? I have the tremors in my hands. And I said, I am praying, but I haven't gone deep to, you know, go in it. Because I had a lump in my breast once, and the doctor thought it was cancerous. But when they took the biopsy, and the whole church was praying it was not cancer, I haven't had any problem with it. So you have to really dig in and pray like you believe it. Not just, Lord, you know, I really wish you would heal these tremors. And then go on about your business. And so I think when Nancy said that, I said, I think I need to get serious about the tremors and lock hands with God and do what I am telling you all to do now. But recognize that there's a storm. Don't try to dismiss it, talk like it's not there. The daddy would say, it's coming, get in the shelter. Drop everything you are doing now and get in the shelter. And we knew when we heard him say, don't care what you were doing, you dropped and you went. So recognize that you are in a storm or it's right there. We didn't know how long we were going to be down there, but we were prepared. Whether it was for an hour, a day, or 2 days, we were prepared. And that's like when you have a storm and walking through a storm, you recognize this is a storm. Don't try to rationalize, oh, no, I'm not a storm. I'm not a storm. No, I'm not a storm. Yes, you are. So you recognize it. And then from there, you start doing what you have prepared, been prepared to do in the storm.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.